Amen. Job chapter 23, verse 12. He said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Psalms 138, verse 2 said, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And 1 Corinthians 14 and 10 said, "There are, it may be, many kinds of voices, and none of them without signification." And a last reading, and I'll let you be seated, John 10:4. The latter part said, "And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The latter part of verse 5 said, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." I want to address a subject tonight that I just feel like that's what I need to do, and it's the voice of God. I want to talk to you tonight, or preach or whatever, about the voice of God. Why don't you be seated tonight? Words. There's books and libraries by the volume that contain words. You walk down the street, and no doubt if people are there, you're going to hear words spoken. You know, I've come to realize that words have weight and they have substance. They are the material with which you build the reality in which you live. You speak words and they set the mood of a conversation. They set the direction of a conversation. They set the atmosphere in a room. You say, "Well, how does that work?" Well, you take someone that screams and hollers and stomps their feet and screams and hollers, and you'll find out pretty soon that the atmosphere in the room is not very nice. The absence of words can also set the mood or atmosphere in a room. Ask me how I know that. I've been married for almost 49 years. Okay. Listen, we'll set up a tent right here for a moment. When I first got married, you know, I'm 20 years old. I know everything. And I married someone who was much smarter, much more intelligent than I was, but I didn't know that at the time because I know everything because I'm 20 years old. And we had this session of intense fellowship one evening. And I'm very intelligent, see? I'm smart. I'm sitting with my magazine, and I am giving her the silent treatment. Watch. I'm actually hiding from someone who's more intelligent than I am. But my wife was raised in a church, and she learned scripture. And she would walk by me and she would quote scripture. She'd just walk by and she'd go, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but the grievous word stir up anger." We were getting ready to go to bed. She walked by me and she said, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I'm just telling you that the lack of words can also set a mood in a room. But you have to understand that you speak doom and gloom and you speak depressive words, and all of a sudden you've got Chicken Little and the sky's falling in just because of what you spoke. And it's like what you speak is what you get. You focus on the negative, and you can dig a hole of despair and depression and stress that becomes your house and eventually your grave. Or you can speak faith and encouragement and hope and promise and strength and renewal. And that too becomes not just your house, but it becomes the fortress and refuge in which you live. And so we're going to consider the voice of God, because the voice of God is made up of words. I think we ought to consider, what does it sound like to hear the voice of God? You know, I've been in this 50 years, and I've had all kinds of people tell me, I heard from God. Well, if you've heard from God, I got no argument. But I have watched people that thought they heard from God walk in delusion. But what does the voice of God sound like? Now watch. Number one, the voice of God will always sound like the voice of my pastor. How so? When Samuel as a child was in the temple and the Lord spoke to him, he ran to Eli the high priest. Because to Samuel, the voice of God sounded like the voice of Eli. To Peter, the voice of God to Peter was the crowing of a rooster, not the clucking of a chicken. Amen. Go and learn what that means. To Balaam the soothsayer, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And so the voice of God comes in various ways through various vehicles, but there are certain things that you need to know about the voice of God. One, it's always specific. Go read Acts chapter 10. God is not the author of confusion. So when you hear the voice of God, it's not a chaotic jumble full of words and ideas. And if you ever feel like God spoke to you, and there's this little niggling at the back of your mind, maybe I shouldn't do this, you probably better not. My pastor taught for years, when in doubt, don't. It served me well. The voice of God is not only always specific, and it's not confusion, but it's very clear. I don't have to guess whether God spoke to me or not. It is very direct. It was to Nicodemus, and it was to Peter. The voice of God gives hope, not fear, when you're living right. I have been in so many services, brother, where it was such a fearful spirit and atmosphere in that service. And yet when God spoke, it always brought hope to me, not fear. It's always 100% accurate. Not 99. Not 98. Well, you know, that guy's a prophet, but he only gets it right part-time. He is a liar. He is not a prophet. If he was a prophet, what he said would come to pass 100% of the time. Ooh, that's pretty hard. Well, just go read your Bible. If they got it right part-time, they took him out and stoned him. It's very decisive. So just by way of information, when you hear God speak, it may be a portion of Scripture that God speaks to you from. It may be an impression on your mind, or it may be a strong feeling you have. But impressions and strong feelings are just what they are. Impressions and strong feelings. Some impressions last, and some don't. And I know this about feelings. Feelings are very fickle. So you can't trust your feelings. Say, how can you say that? Because I've met some people and I really like them. Now, I'm just being honest and I'm being transparent, but I have met some people I've really, really, really liked, and they do something so stupid that it's almost provoking, and you just want to go. Well, my feelings changed. But with God, when I get an impression, when I get a strong feeling, do you know what I do? I want to be right with God. So what I do, I take my feelings, my impressions, and I go to my pastor and say, Pastor, this is what I felt. This is what I was impressed to do or say. And I go before I do or say. And I run it by the man of God in my life just to make sure. So why would God speak to us? Well, there's several reasons. One is to give warning. Nobody likes that part, do they? One, he speaks to give warning. Another one, he gives direction when he speaks. You know, the Bible said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 that Paul was forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia. Yet I read in another place where all of Asia heard the word of God by the space of 2 years. Sometimes God speaks to teach us things. And if it's one thing I think the apostolic movement is missing, it's teaching. We go to meetings all the time, brother, and they're stepping that high when they leave and they haven't learned one thing. God sometimes talks to us to teach us things. He gives revelation when he talks. He gives understanding. You know, I was talking to a man the other day, and he was wanting God to use him in the gift of knowledge. And I said, well, that wouldn't really be any good to you. And he said, what do you mean? Of course it would. I said, well, no, it really wouldn't. It'd just get you in trouble. Unless God used you in the gift of wisdom too, because he's not going to tell you something and then not tell you how to use it, what you know. I said, they don't work independently one of the other. They work in conjunction one with the other. Sometimes God speaks just to give us encouragement. I've been there. Sometimes he speaks to establish you or me. Sometimes he speaks to confirm what your pastor has said or another man of God has said. Sometimes he sends his word and he heals us. Not necessarily of a physical malady, but sometimes he can heal our spirit. Sometimes he can heal our mind or our thinking. Do you know that many times you and I don't think right? We don't. We think all kinds of things that are just not right. You know, someone doesn't shake your hand and all of a sudden they're mad at you. No, they probably just had to go to Walmart for something. And it was fixing the clothes. Got nothing to do with you. But if you're not careful, your head plays games with you. Now, I don't have enough time to talk about that, but that's a whole another deal. Sometimes God speaks to create things. You know God's still creating things? Wow, I'm not hesitant to say it, so I'll just go ahead. You were talking to me yesterday about property and buildings and blah, 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 blah. You know what? You might say there's no piece of property where we need to go that we can afford. God can create a piece of property that you can afford. Man, I better not get off on that because I believe that. So here, if you don't know the voice of God, let me ask you a question. If you don't know the voice of God, then how can you know the will of God? I got all kinds of people telling me what the will of God is, but they couldn't hear the voice of God if he was screaming from the rooftop. Yeah. What if God speaks to you about someone? Why would he do that? Well, it's not necessarily for you to go to that person and tell that person what God said. It may be simply because he wants you to pray for that person. But if he does speak to you about somebody, it's always correct and right to seek direction from your pastor to know what to do with what God just said to you. And don't just hear what your pastor says. Do what he says. You know, I like these little memes every once in a while that you see. And there's one, there's a little kid, he's about 5 years old. He got this look on his face like this. And it said, if stupid could fly, you'd be a jet. Now, I'm not trying to say people are stupid. But the Bible tells us we're just sheep. And they're not the smartest animal out there. That's why they need a shepherd. They don't have fast legs to run fast. They don't have fangs. They don't have teeth that they can, you know, protect themselves with. They don't have claws. They can't fly. So you just need to listen to what the man of God said and do what he says. He's up on the wall as the watchman. He sees what you can't see. He may keep you from destroying yourself or somebody else. Now, I'm going to jump off into something here. I may get myself in trouble. And, brother, if I say something out of the way, just pull my coattail. I've been rebuked before. I can take it. But, you know, there's this thing going around different circles where you go to a meeting and somebody wants to speak into your life. Well, you can't just allow anybody at a meeting that you don't know to speak in your life, because they're speaking into your emotions, your spirit, your mind, and their voice can become louder than the voice of your pastor. And you have to be careful, because their voice might be toxic in content and spirit. It may be packaged pretty, but it might be detrimental to your soul. You don't just want anybody filling your cup up, my friend. Amen. Unknown and potentially toxic people should not be influencing you or your decisions. I don't know any of you here tonight, so I'm safe. But I was in a church with my youngest daughter, my oldest sister, and her daughter-in-law, and there's a guy there, and he is praying for people, and they're doing all the funny things that people do when they're prayed for, you know, shaking and quaking and falling out the floor and screaming and hollering. And my daughter said, I don't like the feel of this. And I said, it's okay. Just relax. She said, that guy's going to come back here. I said, I know he is. I'll take care of him. So he makes his way on back, and he looks at me and he said, how are you doing? Fine. He said, you got some things going on in your life. Well, that's real discernment there, isn't it? You know, it's wonderful. And I said, mm-hmm. And he said, I want prayer for you. I looked at him and said, get to praying. And in my mind, I was remembering old brother D.C. Moody. And so he laid his hand on my shoulder, and he went to praying. And when he opened his eyes up, I was looking at him. And he said, you don't believe God sent me back here, do you? I said, I don't think God's within 15 miles of you. I said, you take your little dog and pony show and go somewhere else where someone believes it, because I sure don't. I said, if anybody's going to pray for me, it'll be that pastor up there, not you. And my sister and her daughter-in-law were appalled. She said, I can't believe you said that to that guy. 2 weeks later, she called me and said, yeah, you were right. They said they went to that guy's house, and he took all the racks out of his refrigerator so he'd get more beer in there. He was totally false. I'm just saying that because there's going to be a lot of people that you meet that want to speak things into your life. Better be careful with that. We're talking about the voice of God tonight. And I'm never ceased to be amazed that There are people that they can hear spirits talking to them, have angelic visitations, see visions and dream dreams, and yet they don't hear or recognize the voice of God for what it is. They don't recognize it when it comes across the pulpit from their pastor or those under his leadership or other preachers that stand in the pulpit. Listen, if a person cannot hear and do the word that's preached and taught across the pulpit, then all their spiritual stuff doesn't mean a hill of beans. All it does is scream that they're in trouble and they don't even realize it. So here's some questions. I ask a lot of questions. Questions are good. Number one, I think I've done this. I've said, is what they're saying, does it sound like what my pastor has taught me? Number two, are they adding something positive to me or something negative? Now listen, yours truly has enough things in life that are negative without someone adding to it. The wagon some days is pretty full, brother. What are they depositing in my mind and in my spirit? Ask yourself these questions. Are they taking something valuable from me? If they're spiritually sick and toxic, that's what they're putting in you. What should I do? If they're bitter and nasty and hateful and... Stop. Stop. Refuse to take their poison and get away from them. Well, I got somebody over here believes what I'm saying anyway. The story is told of a young man that bought an orange grove, and he couldn't get any oranges to grow that were sweet. They were always bitter. And so he saw an old man sitting on the front porch close to where the grove was. And the old man beckoned him over. He said, "Hey, how's oranges growing?" He said, "Well, they're nice and big and juicy, but," he said, "they're all bitter." He said, "Well, you know the guy you bought the property from? Well, there's a lot of people had that property and sold it because just on the other side of the fence on the back of that property is a blackjack tree, and it's poisoning the grove." You have to be very careful that the one you're listening to is not a blackjack tree, and they poison you with bitterness. Bitterness. Who will God use to speak to me? That's a good question. Certainly not some unstable, carnal, rebellious, loose-living person. Excuse me, not Ahab or Jezebel. Are they still alive? Oh, they're alive and well, brother. Hear me again. God is not going to use an unstable, carnal, rebellious, loose-living person to speak through. He doesn't need that. He's got a rooster. He's got a donkey. Come on. God's not without options. He'll use his word. He'll use his spirit. He'll use your pastor or other godly men, and sometimes even a godly woman. Our text said, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I have lived long enough to see more people influenced by the voice of strangers than the voice of the shepherd. And to some, the voice of God is whoever will agree with what they want to do. Someone who will tell them what they want to hear. The voices that call to you from without in the world, they don't have anything good to say to you. They will lead you into darkness and a spiritual prison, and they will chain you and make you believe that you can never be free. They lie. You can be free of their influence. But you have to understand that these voices, our text said there's voices, and none of them are without significance. They all have significance.
Yes.
You just have to be careful who you listen to. Someone said there's mainly two kinds of people interested in sheep, the shepherd and the butcher. Are you listening now? You ought to be thankful God didn't send you a butcher. He sent you a shepherd. Oh, let's hurry here a little bit. A person learns. They learn how to hear the voice of God. It's something that you have to cultivate. You have to train your ear to hear the voice of God, like a musician trains their ear to hear a certain pitch of music or notes played. They train their ear to do that. They weren't born with that. History said that they sang a song when they opened a door every 100 years in a certain church, and no one had ever written the music to it before. Mozart happened to be in the city at the time, and his father took him to hear this song that was played. And Mozart was 14 years old, and he went back to the room where he was staying and sat down and wrote the sheet music for it. Why could he do that? He was writing music since he was 5 years old. He had trained his ear to hear the notes. And you have to cultivate your ear to hear the Word of God. Samuel did not recognize the voice of God. He thought it was Eli calling to him. Many times, like I said, when God would talk to me, it was the sound of my pastor's voice echoing in my head. Things that he taught, things that he said to me. And I want you to know tonight, if you're not thankful, you need to be thankful for a pastor that loves you enough to preach and teach the truth to you. He's trying to train your ear to hear the voice of God. My pastor helped me to develop an ear, a desire to hear from God. That's what's kept me safe all these years. When other voices brought smooth words, sweet words, I had enough teaching and preaching by the man of God to help me sort through and filter the voices out so I would know which one was the voice of God. I lean heavy on my pastor for direction. Matter of fact, I asked him if I could come here. Now, he's 45 years old. I'm almost 70. And he said, well, why are you asking me? I said, well, because you're the pastor. He said, but you're older than I am. You're like an elder. You're like grandpa in the church. I said, no. Stop right there. As long as I'm in this church and you're the pastor of this church, I'm going to be coming and asking you, can I make major decisions?
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you whether I can wear flip-flops or do I need to wear lace-up shoes, but I will ask you if I can spend major money, make major investments, buy property, if I can leave town. I want the man of God to know where I am, because I want to be able to sort through all the voices that come my way and know that the voice I'm hearing is the voice of God. I value the man of God and the safety there is in knowing he's watching out for me. These voices all want my attention. God, give us ears to hear his voice. Oh, my, my. You know, our text said in Psalm 138 and 2, he said, thou hast magnified your word above thy name. Magnified his word above his name. How important is his name? He said, we're not saved by any other name. Right? And his name is the highest name that there is, and yet he chose to make his word bigger than his name. I'm going to close with this, and I mentioned it this morning, but your response to what is preached. You know, a lot of preachers worry about response. Me, I don't care about response. I don't care if you sit there like a tree full of owls. You know what? Your response does not belong to me. It belongs to God. And I'm not concerned if you don't respond to me, but I am concerned if you don't respond to God. It doesn't belong to me, but what should your response be? Like I said this morning, you should be sitting on the edge of your seat. And you should be saying, amen, preacher, preach, make it plain, make it plain. You know what it does? It lets your pastor know where you stand. It lets your pastor know what you believe, how much you believe it. Oh, my, my. Let's stand. The voice of God. Man, it's Sunday night. You know, you're supposed to rev it up. You're supposed to be climbing the walls and biting the ceiling. Listen. You can do that the next service. I just want you to know that sometimes God can talk to you. We talk about that still small voice a lot. He don't talk to me in a still small voice. Brother, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks with some things. Sometimes he has to yell, hey, hey! Hey, I'm over here. Wake up. Oh, yeah, okay, God. It's not a still small voice. And sometimes God uses so many different things to talk to us. So many different things. Be it a rooster, be it a donkey. But I want a sensitive ear when the man of God takes the pulpit. I want to say in my heart, preacher, I want you to preach to me. God, let that preacher preach to me. I'm not thinking about somebody else. I'm thinking about me. God, let him preach to me. I need this, what he's going to say. When I do that, it's when I feel convicted of things in my own life that are not right. It's when God deals with me. And I can go to an altar and I can pray through, like I said this morning. I could empty myself of me and pray until I'm full of him. It beats all I ever seen. You get ready to go to church and the devil shows up in your living room in a red suit and pitchfork and a tail and horns. No, he doesn't. All he does is you squeeze the tube of toothpaste from the middle instead of the end, and a full-blown war ensues before church over a tube of toothpaste that squeezed wrong. And you fussing and feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys all the way to church, and you get in there and you try to pray and you can't pray, and song service starts and says, oh, how I love Jesus, and you're thinking, what a hypocrite. And the preacher gets up and preaches, and you feel convicted for the way that you've been, the way you've acted. The voice of God begins to talk to you. That's how you'll make it. That's how you'll make it, is knowing the voice of God. Recognizing the purpose of the pulpit.